Good evening and good moeds. I want to wish all my listeners a happy, a healthy new year. Tonight's show, we are very, very happy to be on during Chol HaMoed, during the holiday season. Mask mothers and fathers aligned, saving kids of all ages and all stages for all mental health struggles, including addiction. If you know someone that needs a referral for a therapist, an inpatient or outpatient program, or a parent support group, still by Zoom is available, please give us a call, 718-758-0400. Again, I'll repeat the number. Maybe you want to jot it down for yourself, a loved one, a neighbor, or someone you usually would sit next to in shul. Our number again, 718-758-0400. Tonight's show is a very important show, something we all need to speak to our children about, and that is safety in our synagogues, in our home, in our neighborhood, in our schools with friends. And I am very, very honored to have on once again Chaya Mermerstein from SOVRI. She's the clinical supervisor of Mount Sinai Beth Israel Family Services Program. And in private practice, I've been working with Chaya since MASC started, and MASC is 25 years. Chaya has been doing this for more than 30. So I'd like to welcome you on once again, Chaya. Thank you for making the time during the holiday season.
Thank you, Rahama. First of all, I think it is such an important message that you want to relay. 25 years is spectacular, and kol hakavod to you and for asking me to do this, because I think it's a really good way to spend a little bit of time on Chol HaMoed, because it's such an important topic and issue.
It is indeed. It's an important topic all through the year, but why we're even more so discussing it now is simply because we're in the synagogue during the holiday season, you know, days and days in a row, and people get very comfortable in the synagogue, Chaya. And we need to remember that the topic of molestation, inappropriate touching, happens very often with people we know, and children are being taught, you know, stranger danger. We really need to speak about the importance of knowing the person, maybe from the shul. And it's holiday season. There are a lot of people that have guests and that, you know, you may not know. So I really want to speak about why we're speaking about it, what the importance is now around our season.
Well, I'm so glad you asked. And it is an extremely, extremely important topic for various reasons. Number one, people are in shul. Brothers are coming home for Yontif, who might have been away. And I think it's unfortunate, but has to be said, that number one, the most common form of incest, meaning sexual activity happening between blood family members, is perpetrated by a brother on a sister. That's number one. That is the most common one. And that often happens when the boys are coming home from yeshiva. If you want to go into, we can talk about what are some of those dynamics. So that's one very important issue. Are there locks on the doors of the sister's room? Being aware, this is related to shul, this is related to home. Where are your children? Getting caught up and davening with a lot of kavana is wonderful and it's what we aspire to. But if we don't know where our children are, we have a problem and we are creating even bigger problems. A lot of things happen in bathrooms. A lot of new people come into shul, people visiting from out of town, people get invited. The ability, the options open up in terms of vulnerability because of these factors.
You know, Chaya, you bring up bathrooms. You know, the praying, the davening in our shuls during these holiday season days, there are longer times that we're in shul.
Absolutely.
So it's really important that parents not only know where their children are at all times, which is a conversation, number one, that we should be having about who's taking care during the davening of knowing where the kids are. So firstly, I'd like you to suggest how that can work out best. And secondly, about the bathroom rules during shul times and the ages that we must be careful about.
Oh, thank you. So one of the things that becomes extremely important is, and this is the overall arching issue, which is know where your children are. Nobody can know where everybody is 24/7. We know that we live in the real world, but you cannot be spending 2 hours in shul and, you know, assuming that your child is outside playing with other kids, going to the bathroom, and so on and so forth. That is a recipe for potential danger. A lot of abuse happens in the bathroom. Somebody with very poor impulses is going into the bathroom. The children are in the bathroom and so on. And a lot of bad things happen. And a lot of times the kids are threatened not to say anything or to say, if you do, you're going to get into trouble. They're warned and told a lot of different things. And sometimes it's even somebody they know. I want to just emphasize that 90% of the people who are sexually abused by people they know. 90%, only 10% statistically is stranger danger. So that mother and the father or whoever are in charge of the children need to have a plan about if the father isn't shul, can the mother take more responsibility to, especially when there are younger children, to really be aware of what's going on. There are a lot of shuls where there are kinahara, dozens and dozens and dozens of children. They're outside, they're running in, they're running out, they're going to the bathroom. And we're talking about a 13-year-old could be perpetrating on a 10-year-old. A 10-year-old can be perpetrating on a 6-year-old. The idea is that we know where our children are at. And, of course, they need to be educated beforehand about what needs to happen in terms of people making them uncomfortable. Or knowing that just because somebody has a beard and has rabbi in front of his name does not mean, unfortunately, that they do not cross the line. There are those who do, unfortunately. And so we have to be very careful for children to listen. If somebody is making them uncomfortable, they need to run away.
So let's bring up a conversation. Let's talk about what language should be used when the parents are speaking to the children before they go to shul, before they get invited to other people's homes for a meal and everyone's engaged at the table and the little kids go to the playroom and play, or the bathroom, or upstairs or downstairs. So
that's very, I'm glad that you brought it up. That's very important. Number one is when children are playing in a room, the door must be open. No locked doors. That should be as usher as eating chazer. There should be no locked doors when children are in a room, or closed doors. Everything needs to be transparent. You need to be able to walk by every few minutes, take a look in, see what's doing, see what's happening. There can be no locked doors. Parents need to coordinate with each other. Who's going to keep an eye on who? If you have younger boys and the father is in charge of the boys, he needs to keep an eye on them. Do they need to go to the bathroom? The father should take them to the bathroom, or an older brother that they are comfortable with. But there needs to be supervision. It's unfortunate to make it sound dangerous, but unfortunately, that's how abuse happens. When we become cavalier, we start to trust people, and it's fine to trust the people that we know for sure that the children feel safe with. But there are going to be times when the children are not going to feel comfortable, and they have to be told that their body belongs to them. Nobody, even if he looks like a tzaddik, nobody has a right to touch you unless you give permission or you feel comfortable. And even then, if it's a stranger and he's offering you candy, that kid should be taught to run like heck. Nobody should be offering candy, offering rides alone, or come, let's take a walk together. Those are things that are the ingredient for disaster. So being able to tell your children, your body belongs to you. It's sinistic. That's why Hashem made all the rules about sinis, that we have to be very careful that our bodies are holy and that nobody can touch them. Nobody. Even when kids go to a pediatrician, there's always a parent in the room. We have to have supervision. And so if somebody, no matter who it is, if he's got a beard, if he sounds like a very nice lady, does not matter. They may not touch you. And you need to have your parent around and say, so-and-so is saying this and this and doing that and that, and I'm not comfortable. You need to listen to yourself. Hashem gave kids the ability to know what makes them uncomfortable. And they need to be taught to listen to it and not to say, no, nobody meant anything. It's not a big deal. Even if you don't want to sit on your Zayda's lap, for whatever the reason, even though he's a nice guy, if you shouldn't force children to do things. They shouldn't be forced to kiss people or relatives that they don't want to kiss or feel like kissing. They need to learn that they can say no and not be judged or punished for it.
I know that there are families that have a code word. Mm-hmm. If a child feels uncomfortable, mm-hmm. the parents make up beforehand code word. And it's important to remind the kids before they go out,
yes.
whether it's a sleepover, whether it's Shabbos and Shul or Yontif, whether it's going to a meal for a friend, you need a code word. Like one family says, oh, I wish we were having pizza for lunch. And then the parent knows they're not feeling comfortable. Another child will say, my friend got a new dog. You know, whatever it is, make up with your family a code word. Mm-hmm. It's so important that kids could be open and honest with their parent when it comes to this.
It's so crucial. You see, what becomes hard is the one of the goals of a parent is to be tellable, meaning that you can come and tell me anything and I will listen and take you seriously. But that has to start at a very early age. You can't tell a 15-year-old who you've kind of shushed for a number of years to then, you know, come and tell me. They need to believe that you will believe them. I'll give you an example of somebody that I know. She was like 8 years old, and she went to her friend's house on Shabbos, and there was supervision. The mother was supervising, and there was an older brother there who was 10, and the mother fell asleep on the couch while the kids were playing, and then this little boy started to do inappropriate things with his sister's friend who was visiting. She was very uncomfortable. She ran home. She told her parents, and they immediately went and told the parents of this boy. Then they checked her out at the pediatrician, and then they even took her for an evaluation with a child therapist just to make sure that everything's okay. And on top of all of that, they bought her an expensive gift to tell her how proud they are that she told what happened and that she was rewarded positively for telling what happened. So these are some of the things that we need to inculcate into our children, that it's important to tell. It doesn't matter. Anybody, unfortunately, we want to trust people. It's an instinct to want to trust people. But sometimes we get that feeling like, uh-oh, and we need to listen to it. If somebody is, come on, pushing you to do behaviors that are strange to you, that you don't want to do, you need to run and tell a parent and run away. Say no and run away.
I want to give a shout out. I'm sorry. I want to give a shout out to Rabbi Yanky Horowitz, who has the books about safe touch in many different languages.
Yes.
And it's available in the bookstores. You can get it online, get it in the bookstores. Very, very important, Rabbi Yaakov Horowitz. And there is an English book, Uncle Willie Tickles. So important, even when it comes to tickling Chaya.
Correct.
Where some people start off tickling children till they're so uncomfortable. And really, they are trying to do things with that kind of child. They just start off, you know, making it fun in their mind. But like you said, every child needs to be able to say, stop. And
run away.
Run.
Not be worried about hurting somebody's feelings. If you feel uncomfortable, Hashem gave you a feeling, it's important to listen to that feeling.
Absolutely. And I want all my listeners to know that doing this 25 years and having over 118,000 families that have attended our programs or called for referrals, we've had hundreds of children, hundreds, I repeat, of children that have been molested innocently, where parents really didn't realize they went to sleep Shabbos afternoon. They had guests over, you know, staying after lunch, not leaving. And meanwhile, they went to sleep. Mm-hmm. So many stories, children to children, brothers to sisters, so many hundreds and hundreds. I am not exaggerating. And many of the children do not even share what happened till later in life. And it could be years and years later. Chaya, you've had hundreds and hundreds of children.
We've had hundreds. I mean, I don't know, up to this point, there must be close to 1,000, maybe more. And those are only the ones who have called to the Sovri helpline. Those are the ones who have called. And the statistic is that most people who've been, hopefully it's changing because of the temperature of society a little bit, but most of the people who've been sexually abused go to their grave, never telling a human being, and people not understanding why they're distrustful, why they tend to be anxious, why they're moody, and all of these kind of different situations and behaviors, emotional situations that they've never been accounted for because they won't tell anybody because of their own shame, when the person who's the perpetrator is the one who should be shamed rather than the victim.
Absolutely. At risk behaviors. Let's not forget that. Alcohol, eating disorders, drug abuse, whatever it may be, the struggling.
Going off the derech.
Because
if you don't listen to me when I tell you A, B, and C happened, and it's a trusted person in the community, a parent or somebody in authority, and they blow you off, then they say, this is from Kite, this is a religion, I don't really need it. And that's what happens with a lot of these people. People come up with a lot of reasons why people go off the derech. But I was talking to somebody who ran a girls' school for girls, you know, who have trouble, quote unquote, fitting in Eretz Yisrael. He has, I don't know, a couple of hundred girls in that school. He said over 90% were sexually abused.
Sadly, we know the numbers are really, really high. We should not assume when you know somebody that is not on the path, chosen path of a family. Don't always assume that they were molested, but a very, very large percentage have shared that they have been molested.
I just wanted to say, as a matter of fact, when I get a new patient, what I do as part of my, you know, evaluation, just general information, is I always do an abuse history. Has anybody mistreated you? Oh, what do you mean? I mean, has anybody beaten you? Has anybody treated you, ignored your needs? Has anybody touched you? What do you mean by touched me? And people, they don't always even know that it's happened to them, because it starts at such an early age that it becomes, okay, I guess this is part of life. I had a 10-year-old who thought everybody's father molested them. That's what she told me, because she didn't have a frame of reference at all. Right. Nobody ever talked about it.
Right. So sad. And incest is just something that is so painful for families to deal with and share.
Correct.
Because it breaks families. I mean,
yes,
many times, brother-in-law, sister-in-law, I mean, yes. Sisters, brothers,
yes.
Married, come out. And meanwhile, the perpetrator's married already 5 years with the family, and now they're ready to tell the parents about it. I mean, so much could happen, and we don't want that to happen. We want parents to have the conversation, have the talk with your children before.
I will believe you. I will believe you is the key word. I will never deny. Yes, there is a very small percentage where there are children who might make something up, but no child knows how to make up a sexual situation if he hasn't in some way been exposed to it, because it's not something that they know exists.
Absolutely.
Okay? So it becomes very, oh, how do you know she's not making it up? Would you know how to make up how to do brain surgery? You wouldn't have a clue about what that means, because it's a totally alien concept unless you're a brain surgeon. So the fact of the matter remains, when the 3 or 4-year-old tells you that the bus driver put his hands, I'm sorry to be graphic, down his pants, that is not something that he could have possibly made up, because he doesn't have a frame of reference to think that somebody did something like that. So I think that we
Absolutely.
Have to use our seichel to understand that children, when they report certain information that is really troubling, you need to know that the idea that they made it up is really very, very small percentage. The only percentage I've ever heard is when there's been an extremely, extremely contentious and nasty divorce. And sometimes children are programmed. But that's a very small percentage. The vast majority, so when you talk before about these people, not everybody launches in and starts to abuse children. First, they'll give them candy. They'll talk nice to them. They'll, you know, offer them rides. They'll offer them support in some way. And it's very hard to say no to somebody who's been nice to you. So a lot of abusers are grooming their victims. They spot somebody. Usually it could be somebody who is vulnerable. But the fact of the matter is, if somebody keeps at it long enough, they could be abusing somebody who you think has the best confidence in the world, because it's very hard to say no to somebody who's been nice to you for 6 months and done favors and so on.
Absolutely. We're running out of time, Chaya, but I do want to mention on another topic, and that is, if you're having guests over, relatives, please, medication in your medicine cabinets, please make sure that it's locked up. There are a lot of stories about family members that sadly, they do take meds from the medicine cabinets. Mm-hmm. Even if you have guests over for a meal, remember, you don't know what's going on in someone else's life, and they may be going into medicine cabinets. Your medicines must always be locked up properly away from children, especially, but locked up properly, especially when you have guests over. Well, thank you, Chaya, for coming on.
Can I just add one other thing?
Sure.
That when you do have a guest, and you have an overnight guest because he needed someplace to stay, you really need to be very clear about locked doors, that he cannot be roaming around the house and, you know, going here or there. That there have to be very firm rules, even though they're very nice people, but not everybody's a very nice person, unfortunately. So I just wanted to put that in. Just having a guest over and cavalierly letting them have the run of the house, whatever that might mean, is a big mistake, especially when there are children around.
Right. So the doors should have a lock to your bedrooms of young children, but you must have a key for an emergency to get in at all times.
Right.
So thank you, Chaya, for coming on. I want to wish you and all my listeners, again, a happy, a healthy, and a safe new year.
Can I leave Sovri's number, Sovri Helpline?
Yes. Yes.
It is 888-613-1613. 888-613-1613. Any questions that come up related to this, even if it's a question and you're checking something out, we're here to help.
Thank you. You and have a very good night. Always remember, hang in, hold on, and virtually still hug tight. Wishing everybody a happy holiday. Tonight's show is in memory of Ita Bas Hanoch Aaron. Thank you.
Thank you. Have a good night.
Please consider to go online to maskparents.org and donate so we could continue with all of the mask programs. Thank you.
Thank you.
The COVID-19 boosters are stronger now, so that you and your city can be too. Get boosted today so you can keep the people you love safe against the latest Omicron variants. Updated boosters are available to everyone ages 12 and older at least 2 months after their last vaccine shot. To learn more, visit nyc.gov/vaccinefinder or call 877-VAX4NYC.
Do you have a loved one with dementia? Are you feeling overwhelmed as a caregiver? We understand it can be difficult to know the best way to care and communicate with our loved ones with Alzheimer's, especially as the disease progresses and safety becomes an issue. We invite you to meet with our team and learn more about kosher memory care at the all-new Esplanade of Woodmere, a Scharf family community. Our community respectfully serves those with Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, or other types of dementia in a dignified family environment. Our Montessori-based program helps residents live purposefully and with as much independence as possible. Schedule a tour today by calling 516-712-6500. That's 516-712-6500. Or visit esplanadeofwoodmere.com.
Hi, this is Rabbi Simon Jacobson, excited to invite you to my new radio show, My Life, Tanya Applied. Every Saturday night, Motzei Shabbos from 10 to 10:30 p.m. on WSNR 620 a.m. and online, talklinecommunications.com. Please join me for this exhilarating journey where we will apply the deepest teachings of Torah to our personal, emotional, and psychological lives.